Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning. Beautiful Tuesday. I like it. We're just talking about this. Think about how it's, you got to be up this early. It's nice to have it all light like this.
Oh, yeah. Driving in the light. I like it. Yeah. It's always. It's
go to the lights, Mark Schlereth. Go to the lights.
Well, but we are already past, right? We already, aren't we on the other side?
Yeah, we're on the other side. Every day gets shorter now. Won't be long. We'll be turning the clocks back, be dark at 4:30.
You know,
everybody be miserable.
It's always interesting to time of year when we go to training camp and how, you know, like every morning throughout training camp, you notice it's a little darker this morning, a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like, it seems like it turns too quickly.
It does.
Yeah. It seems like we should push the, is it, what do they call that? The summer solstice?
Yeah.
We should push it back to, it should be pushed back to July. Can we do that?
Hey, man, I would never turn the clocks back. At least leave the clocks where they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No.
By the way, speaking of training camp, I was out at Broncos last week. Saw one of their security guys. Just kind of walking around. Nothing big. Nothing much going on.
Oh, yeah.
Just told him, hey, we good? We ready?
Yeah.
You know? We gonna have any issues? We gonna have any problems? Not for me, I said.
You just warned him?
Just told him.
You warned him that, hey man, I'm coming in hot.
Coming in hot for training.
I'm coming in hot.
Missed this last year.
Right.
Have things cooled over the last couple of years?
Right.
Have things cooled? Yeah. Yeah.
We're good? We're good?
I think we're good.
All right.
I think we're good. Speaking of the Broncos, we had some fun yesterday. Just kind of getting your leftover observations from the Broncos offseason. It was a busy offseason. Lots of news, lots of stuff happening, lots of speculation, and just getting your maybe leftover observations from the offseason. Stuff that stood out to you, stuff that was good, stuff that made you optimistic, stuff that wasn't so good, stuff that make you pessimistic. We focused a lot on the quarterbacks. By the way, that's the subject of my latest column.
It
which
is
drops now. This morning at DenverFan.com.
Does it now?
Yes, it's all about George Payton and why.
I wrote a blog.
Why he did not draft a quarterback. And sure. How, really, I think for most people, their opinion of Payton in his first offseason is drawn along the battle lines. If he had picked a quarterback, it would have been an A grade for his offseason. The fact they didn't pick a quarterback makes it not a passing grade, a failing grade. Am I oversimplifying things?
Yeah, I know. I think it's not necessarily a failing grade. It's just kind of meh. It's kind of like, all right, I'll give you a C because you didn't address the quarterback position. But again, it goes back to how do you look at the team? What do you think needs to be done? How much better does this team need to be? How much deeper is it? You know, all those different things. So it goes, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, when you hire a scout to be a GM, right? And that's where his background is. Don't be surprised when said scout leans on scouting, leans on grades, leans on who they have evaluated as the best players. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. That's going to be the way you're going to build a football team when you come from that background.
So it could be about the quarterbacks, draft, free agency, coaching staff, Fangio, Rodgers, all that stuff. So hit us up on the Ramoslav.com text line, 303-713-1043. Booker McFarland's going to be joining us coming up here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
FOS from ESPN. I like Booker. Get his thoughts on what the Broncos did this offseason, rest of the NFL.
I like you a lot.
I just like saying Booger.
It's a great nickname. Boog.
I think he got the nickname.
don't know. We'll have
maybe
to ask
we'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
Simple that. Question, Booger.
Yeah.
How'd you get nicknamed Booger?
Is it
as obvious as it seems?
What's his first name? Is it Anthony McFarland?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Efforty music, please.
Great question.
Anthony Booger McFarland. Yeah. Why do they call Booger McFarland Booger? Huh. I was a bad kid, gaining a lot of wild stuff. I used to get called a lot of different things, but that was just the one that stuck.
Oh, a booger that stuck.
See?
I've been down the highway
See?
That many,
See?
Many, many times
I
down the highway.
I knew. I was just trying.
Right.
Just trying to draw it out of you. Looking at Booger McFarland on Wikipedia. Anyhow, they have other things you can search for. Different topics. And sure enough, down the list, is it okay to eat boogers?
It's good for you.
Oh, I don't need... Really?
It builds your immune system, yeah.
Please stop.
You didn't know that?
No, it says it's bad.
How about new?
No, it does.
It says it's bad. That they trap invading viruses and bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Eating them.
Builds your immune system.
No, my exposure system... to these pathogens.
I don't know. I think they're like little vitamin pills. Don't you think?
Wrong! Just about everything you see in here is a potential hazard.
All right, maybe not.
Good point. You know, somebody brought up a good point.
What's that?
I was thinking that this was the case. I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe I was wrong, or I didn't want to make you look bad. You can't just arbitrarily change the solstice. I know it is hard to understand that we can't make the sun and earth stop spinning and rotating at your convenience, but that's nature on a universal scale. So yeah, we can't, arbitrarily say, hey, look, earth,
sure we could
stop spinning so fast.
We just
want to draw out our summer a little bit longer.
Yeah, we could do that. You just move every month up. So instead of having December to December, you move January to December, December to November, November on and on it goes, and then all of a sudden July 20th is where June 20th used to be, right? Did I do that right? What do you mean we can't do it? Of course we can do it.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah. Oh, if I start calling June 20th, July 20th?
Yeah.
How about that?
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. We've effectively moved the calendar. Who set the damn calendar anyhow?
You know, when you said that, I was like, I think the solstice has something to do with, like, the rotation of the planet around the sun. And, I don't know if we can actually, like, move that.
You can move the dates.
Kind of is what it is.
We arbitrarily move the clocks forward and backward. Why can't we just move the calendar forward or backward?
All right, Booger McFarland. He's going to join us coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. THMotors.com.
Booger McFarland is a ESPN football analyst. He is a two-time Super Bowl winner, and he is what we like to call an FOS, a friend of stink. And he joins us now. Booger, good morning.
Top of the morning, baby. How we doing?
We're doing great, Boog, man. How are you, my friend?
Hey, it's summertime in Florida. It's hot. The bikinis are on. I got my shirt off by the pool, so life is good, man.
Yeah, that is good. You know, I want to start off just kind of constructing or reconstructing a defense like they did here in Denver under new general manager George Payton. How difficult is that when you put a bunch of new pieces, their whole secondary, although their safeties are the same, all their cornerbacks are pretty much new. How difficult is that
to, you know, to gel as a defense when you're doing that, like, significant personnel changes?
Yeah, it's pretty difficult, especially, you know, new faces, new city terminology. Then you add on top of that some of the restrictions that have been in place because of COVID. So that just kind of doubles it up. But here's the thing, you know, as football players, we know this, that every year we start from scratch anyway. So even though we may know the defense, we're starting from square one, putting in day one. We call it day one installation. So that's the good thing. Coaches are used to starting from scratch, giving the players all the information. So it's going to be different. It's going to be a little challenging. But we do it every year. It just so happens to be now I got new colors and a new city on. So football players should be used to it. So it shouldn't really be that big of a deal by the time we get to the first game.
You know, I was thinking in our day, Booger, defenses usually were built from the front to the back. Well, this one seems to be built opposite, or this has happened maybe since the Legion of Boom, where you're building your back end first and kind of going forward. How important is that defensive secondary in today's game?
Well, you know, you got to have 3-4 guys that can cover. You know, most teams are a nickel, you know, because offenses are on 11 personnel, which is one back, one tight end, 3 wide receivers. So defenses have to match that by putting in minimum 3 corners, and you better have a safety that can cover also so he can kind of match up if you go man-to-man against some tight ends. But with all that being said, I think the game still starts up front. You go back and look at the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs, best team in the league. Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback. He couldn't do anything because the Buccaneers dominated up front. And if your offensive line can't neutralize the defensive line, then it doesn't matter. So as much as we like to talk about the little guys think and the skill position players and they sell tickets, and I'm pretty sure in Denver everyone wants to talk about, you know, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and all these different players, it still comes down to the 5 guys up front on offense. And can you generate enough pass rush? Because we saw in the Super Bowl that even the greatest quarterback living today with some of the greatest offensive weapons looked like, I mean, they only scored 9 points because the Buccaneers defense dominated up front. And, you know, the Bucs secondary is good. It's not great, but it just goes to show you what you can do. You can make average players good. You can make good players great. You can make great players Hall of Famers if you got a pass rush up front.
Busy with ESPN's Booger McFarland. Booger, George Payton, first time general manager, first off season. Were you surprised that he did not draft a quarterback, especially when Justin Fields and Mac Jones were both there sitting for him?
Well, yes and no. Yes, I was a little surprised because if it were me, I'd draft a quarterback every year until I was 100% sold that I had the right guy. I've said this for a long time. With the economics the way they are, with the salary cap, with the rookie pool, it behooves you to draft a quarterback every year until you get it right. Now, with that being said, at some point, you kind of have to have faith in some of the players that you have. Otherwise, you may as well get rid of them. And I know there's the kind of the, you know, kind of the $20 million question out there, I guess, you know, with Deshaun Watson, what's going to happen with him, and is he going to be able to, A, solve the civil suits that he has, and B, get a trade out of Houston? And so maybe in the back of Denver's mind, they're kind of waiting on Deshaun Watson to see what goes on there. And in the meantime, they're okay with what they have. I don't know. I just know if it were me, as important as that position is, I'd draft one every year. Hell, Washington drafted 2 in one draft. Back when they had RG3 and Kirk Cousins, just because they wanted to make sure they got it right. And I think if you're Denver, with a team that defensively, I think we think that they can be pretty good this year. Offensively, they're going to have to make the next step with the offense and hopefully the quarterback, whether that's a guy currently on the roster or a guy that they're looking to trade for, can come in and help that team.
What do you think happens with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think he ever plays another down in Green Bay, Stink. And the reason why, I think Aaron Rodgers has 240 million reasons that he's already made that he doesn't have to cave from his stance. And to me, it's personal now, man. Like, this ain't about money. You know, some players have to cave because financially it will cripple them. Think about this. He could pay back, Stink, $50 million. And I'm just making this number up. He could write a check back for $50 million and he would never lose an ounce of sleep. So that tells me that this man is in a position that if he feels as strongly as has been reported, then why is he going to change his mind? I wouldn't. Like, if I was dug in a position the way he is, and financially it wouldn't bother me. Like, Aaron is not a guy that you see riding around, you know, in Rolls Royces, and he doesn't have seven houses. So he lives within his means based on the amount of money he makes, and he's made $240 million on the field. That's not counting what he's made off the field. So financially, he can do whatever he wants to do. And the fact that he hasn't been to Green Bay since the season was over, and, you know, everybody's making a big deal out of him renewing his membership at the country club. Listen, as a guy who plays a lot of golf, I will tell you, the first thing I would do is renew my membership at the club, but that doesn't mean I'm going to do anything else besides play golf. So I think Aaron is dug in for the long term. I think the nail is actually going to come, you know, be hit by the hammer somewhere around the beginning of training camp, and we'll be talking about this for another, I don't know, 6-8 weeks until something actually happens. But I do not think he plays in Green Bay again.
Last question, real quick. Offensive coaches versus defensive coaches. We have a defensive coach here in Vic Fangio. You played, obviously, for Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay, and then John Gruden comes in, and you win a Super Bowl under John Gruden. The difference for you as a defensive player for playing for a defensive coach versus a kind of an offensive-minded coach?
Offensive coaches usually have a lot longer practices because they want to see a lot more plays, and they judge the crispness or the positivity of the practice based on what their offense looks like. Defensive coaches are usually more, I'm not going to say more structured, but they judge practice on competition, not necessarily on one side winning or the other side, but they judge practice on the fundamentals. They usually are a lot tougher when it comes to the details overall as a team. But the game has changed. So I think you got to have a balance of both, because it's an offensive game. You can't say you're going to be the Baltimore Ravens and you know, limit teams to 10 points a game, or be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where we held teams to, what, 15, 16 points a game. Like, if you're a really, really good defense, you're probably going to give up 20, 21 points a game. And that's just kind of how it goes. So now what do you do offensively? If you gave me the choice of who I would rather play for, I would rather play for a defensive coach that had a hands-off approach to the offense that allowed a really young offensive mind to be innovative, because I think then you could get the best of both worlds. Because a defensive coach like Tony Dungy, usually a little bit more mild-mannered also. Like, Tony was special, man. Tony, like, there were practices we never even knew Tony was on the field. But Tony had the ultimate respect that if we made a mistake, like, it was almost like your kid did something, because we disappointed him and we felt it. So I like Vic, man. I know what Vic has done. Offensively, though, they have to take the next step in Denver. And as long as they have the right coaches in place, it really doesn't matter what side of the ball that the coach comes from. You just got to be able to hold your entire team accountable for their job. And as long as you do that, this league has proven you can win a ton of ways.
Booger, where in Florida are you right now?
I am in Tampa, Florida right now. So I just pulled up to the beach. So
yeah.
Hopefully, if you guys have a Twitter account, I'll send you a picture of me with my shirt off laying on the beach.
There you go. It's going to be 91 today. So get that shirt off and lock in on those bikinis.
Yes.
Later, bud.
Hey, thanks, Booger. Take care, buddy.
Anytime, man.
Booger McFarland pulling up to the beach.
Pulling up to the beach.
All right. Good for him. That was good. Really good. Booger McFarland. All right. We got the Morning Brew coming up next. Lot to get to. The first openly NFL gay player. What does that mean? And a huge ruling involving the NCAA. Are we now starting down a path to making these amateur athletes basically pros? That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. That's some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on!
What's up, people? I'm Carl Massive. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay.
I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest.
Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib becoming the first active NFL player to come out as gay. Mark, you're, as a former player, your reaction. How does he be received in his room, locker room? Does anything change for him? Does anything change for his teammates?
You know, I've been saying this for years. If you can play, and Carl Nassib's a good player, a really good player. If you can play, you're going to be fine. I mean, there's a certain sanctity of the locker room where nothing's out of bounds, you know? Like, hey, listen, you got to be able to take it and dish it and, you know, and have some fun. And I tell you what, the guy can play. The reaction, the overwhelming reaction was of support and everything else. And I think ultimately every locker room knows there's, you know, just by statistics, by odds, there's gay guys that play in the NFL. And so,
have been for a long time.
Yeah. And so I think that I really don't think it's that big a deal. I never have. I always thought if you can play, hey, as long as you can play, great.
Nassib, by the way, had one interception last year. It came in the Raiders' 37-12 win over the Broncos, a day in which Drew Lock was picked off four times. Next on the Morning Brew.
This is a separate issue in a way from what the Supreme Court decided. It did not really address name, image, and likeness, but it's related in the sense that there is broad acknowledgement that the deal that had been offered to college athletes before, which is you play and we give you a scholarship, is no longer sufficient.
That's Don Wolkin of USA Today commenting on the unanimous 9-0 decision by the Supreme Court against the NCAA, allowing now schools to provide their athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it is in some way connected to their education. Okay. Huge deal. I mean, it doesn't take into account paying athletes, allowing athletes to cash in on their likeness, their name, their brand. But with this being such a big win for athletes, for colleges, against the NCAA, does this only lead to probably more lawsuits and more wins? To the point where, yes, these players will get paid. They will be allowed to market themselves.
Yeah.
Is this the first domino?
Absolutely. This is the first rung on the ladder. And I think, you know, I think there'll be several other rungs that that get addressed. And, you know, I mean, I'm not smart enough to figure out what the, you know, what you get versus what I get versus what the starting quarterback gets versus whatever. But, I mean, listen, I think this is long overdue. We'll see the effect it has on college football because, you know, there's going to be some small schools that, you know, are not going to be able to compete in that.
That's already the case anyway.
Yeah.
Right now. It's a huge chasm between the haves and the have-nots anyway. So that just
for the NCAA Act to act like they can't. I mean, come on. How many billion-dollar-a-year industry is NCAA football? So, yeah, I mean, I don't have any issue. I'm interested to see exactly how it plays out, Mike. But, this is a long time coming.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Brady takes the snap, stands in the pocket, he's sacked, and engulfed and swallowed! Back at the 27-yard line! And pressure came in a hurry! Frank the Shark Clark! As Tom Brady goes swimming in shark-infested waters, Okafor also in there.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Chiefs Radio, too. Just make the call, all right?
Shark and
pretty soon water. You're going to break into Baby Shark and da-da-da-da. You know, I mean, come on. So, remember yesterday...
Frank the Shark Clark!
Remember yesterday I said, hey, the offseason begins, a time when NFL general managers don't sleep well because they wait for the phone to ring in the middle of the night, mentioning that one of their players is in trouble. I sort of said that... kind of serious, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't totally half-hearted. Well, here we go. Frank Clark arrested for illegal gun possession. Had an Uzi in his car. Vikings rookie...
No, that's fine.
Vikings rookie Jalen Twyman was shot over the weekend, expected to make a full recovery. And one more. There was a Arizona player here. Let's see. It was rookie linebacker Zaven Collins arrested for reckless driving. Hey, what is it with these NFL players? You give them just a little bit of freedom, they lose their minds.
Yeah, there's always a few guys on every roster that need, you know, full-time babysitters. Just driving around I'm assuming it's some type of luxury car, right, with my Uzi. Seriously? Gotta pack your Uzi?
Officers noticed a bag with an Uzi sticking out in plain sight in the car.
Yeah.
Rest on suspicion of having a concealed firearm in a vehicle. Next on the Morning Brew.
What? Becky will take over.
Yeah, Becky Hammond's going to take over. There's Becky Hammond will be the head coach from here out. 3:56 remaining.
Becky Hammond, a longtime assistant with the Spurs and Greg Popovich, is in the final running for the vacant Portland Trailblazers job, set for a second interview.
Nice.
Is this the next frontier to be reached in pro sports? A female head coach of one of the big four sports?
Sure, why not? I mean, there's all kinds of there's female assistants, I think, in pretty much in every walk of professional sports, whether it's in the front offices, whether it's in coaching, you know, whether it's in, you know, management, whatever. So yeah, I mean, Becky Hammond's earned the right to interview and earned the right to, to coach a team. So good for her.
Okay, she's in the running. She's getting a second interview. Mostly insiders believe that Chauncey Billups is ticketed for this Portland job.
Okay.
Do you believe that she is, they're seriously interested in her, or is this just a way to make themselves look good? You know, is she being kind of used that way?
I think there, if she's coming back for a second interview, there's some seriousness behind it. There should be, you know, I mean, everybody that you talk to says she's a really good basketball coach. So anyhow, so yeah, I think there's seriousness to that. And I will tell you, you know, I go back to the Mike Tomlin interview in Pittsburgh, where it was a foregone conclusion that they were either going to give that to Russ Grimm or Ken Whisenhunt. Russ Grimm been the assistant head coach O-line, and Whisenhunt was the offensive coordinator, who ended up going to Arizona and becoming the head coach and doing that for a long time in Arizona. And then Tomlin came in an 8-hour interview and just blew them away. They were just like, changed their mind. So if she's coming back for a second interview, I have to assume that it's very serious.
Well, and you know what? The other part of this is, you know, some could say, well, they're just doing this to, you know, make themselves look good. You know, look how progressive we are, that kind of thing. On the other hand, there is a certain public relations boom that would come along with that. You become the first NBA or first professional franchise to hire a female coach. You know what? You're going to get a lot of eyeballs. A lot of people are going to be paying attention to. You're going to be on TV a lot. I mean, just, let's face it. It's just the way it is. It's a novelty that would be a real curiosity for a lot of people that they want to, you know, tune in and see how it all looks and works out. Hey, we root for her. That'd be a great story. The former CSU Ramy getting a head coaching job in the NBA. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. All right, a lot to react to. We continue to get your observations from the Broncos offseason, things that you liked and didn't like, and a lot of stuff here in the Brew that we want to give you a chance to react to as well. Ramoslav.com, text line 303-713-1043. Your text next. All right, let's get into our text here. Great texters, the 6 a.m. listeners. Best of the bunch here on The Fan. All right, David and Parker. This goes back to the whole NCAA ruling. Being able to give athletes now unlimited compensation as long as it is education related. Here's David's take. Well, giving an athlete a full ride scholarship that includes not only tuition, books, room and board to a 4-year college or university, a total package of about $200,000 to $300,000, along with job training and an audition to a job where they can make millions of dollars per year, is clearly not enough. Let's pay these guys too. Some of which can only pass their classes with tutors helping and teachers looking the other way. Meanwhile, the truly gifted kids are paying full price or close to it. It's BS. These athletes are already properly compensated. Okay? You buy that? As a former college former college athlete yourself? Hey, I...
Hold on there,
Millennial Ben.
He sucks.
As somebody who's getting ready to send a kid off to college...
Right.
Hey, you all of a sudden told me that all she's getting, my daughter, is free tuition, room and board. Sign me up. Sign me up immediately. There's some real value in that.
Well, I tell
so
you.
Why do they need more?
Okay. I'll tell you what. When people start coming to watch her take a class, when people start paying to be on campus to watch your daughter get educated, then she deserves more.
But this is basically what's happening. They're coming to watch Mark Schlereth pay, and in play, and in return, you're getting like a $300,000 value. You're getting paid for people to come watch you play. You don't have to pay for anything while you're there.
Yeah, but I think it comes down to what are you actually? I mean, you're receiving an education, but there's nothing free about the education. You sign on to a binding contract to get that compensation. And I understand that it's a lot. I do. I get that it's a lot. But you essentially are giving a scholarship to that guy or to the team member. You're doing that. That is great. But in the overall scheme of what value you bring to the university, what value football brings to the university and how much money they make, that you're getting pennies on the dollar to what you should be getting. So, I mean, you can sit there and not like it. I understand that people don't like it. I get that. The bottom line is, like I always say, nobody's coming to watch, you know, Nick Saban coaches, you know, stand around his ass off coaching. They're coming to watch the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Watch the players. The players have leverage now more than ever, and they're leaning on it. I don't have any issue with that. Like the people who hate this, one, there's a I think there's a ton of jealousy there. Two, it's okay for Nick Saban to make 10-11 million dollars a year on top of whatever the other funds that are coming his way. So it's okay for him to make $11 million a year. Meanwhile, some kid gets, you know, scholarship money and, you know, can't go out and buy a burger at times. I think there's inequity there based upon what you bring as a player and what your level of compensation is. That's all.
It sounds great, right? Compensate these athletes that bring a lot to the university.
Sure.
Let them get a slice of the pie. But then you start to kind of get down into the weeds and then it's like, okay, there are what, 80 guys on a college football team?
Sure.
So what makes you so special? I got to walk into the locker room. I'm the third string linebacker. I'm trying to grind my way through school. I don't have the money to buy a burger, take a date out or something out. But I look across the room and there's, you know, stud Mark Schlereth and, you know, he's getting paid. He's got a car, dealership deal is, you know, pictures up on a billboard around town. Come on, you know the locker room dynamic, what the balance is. How's that going to work? How's that going to work when, yeah, great, the football player is bringing in money and, you know, he gets paid, but, you know, meanwhile, the golfer gets nothing or the lacrosse player gets nothing. I just, how do you take a blanket policy and make it work for everybody, knowing it's not going to work for everybody? And what kind of problems does that create? Not only from guys who are going to be like, hey, I want to make sure I get an endorsement. So I play selfishly. Right. Or I resent my teammate who's getting paid and I'm not. And that creates acrimony in the locker room.
Yeah, sure. Well, hey, listen, if you're a third string linebacker, you don't deserve to get paid. I mean, you know the pecking order. Like one thing that football players or athletes totally understand, I think, for the most part, is they understand that everybody is treated fairly but not equally. And based upon your value, it's just like anything else. I mean, in any job there is that if somebody gets a big promotion and you don't like that person or you think that person is faulty or doesn't put the work in, does that create acrimony in the organization? Well, sure. It's no different than any other profession. So my thought process is this. Athletes have dealt with that the whole time. The meritocracy of, hey, you want to play? Right? Be better. Work harder. Don't make mistakes. And the other thing I know is, hey, listen, I know as a guard, whatever I can get from a compensation package standpoint is going to pale in comparison to the starting quarterback or the starting wide receiver, or the starting running back, or the guys who get their names called out. I get that.
Yeah, I used the third string linebacker. That was wrong. I should have said, hey, you're the starting guard and you're a real good one. You're all conference.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
No car dealership's going to come sign you up.
No.
They're going to go for the quarterback or the running back or the wide receiver. And you're one of the best. You're even maybe better at your position than the running back is at his.
Sure. Yeah, but you understand.
You don't get anything. That's not going to cause any problem in that room.
You know how that works. I mean, absolutely not.
No bitterness, no jealousy,
no grief. No, you understand the hierarchy, you understand the pecking order. You've been doing it your whole life. It's not like all of a sudden you just realized, all of a sudden you get into college and you're 3 years into it and you become an all-conference performer at the guard position. All of a sudden you realize at some point, like, hey man, they never interview me, but they interview the quarterback all the time. Why, how come I'm not? You've dealt with it your whole life. Listen, I understand people don't want athletes to get paid. Sorry. You're in it's the entertainment business and people are coming to watch you play. And
so they're not amateurs anymore. The amateur ideal.
Yeah.
Didn't die yesterday, but it
took a hit.
It took a big hit.
Right. This is really about the fat cats. This has been the fat cats in the NCAA who've been taking advantage of the system forever. This was really a, hey guys, clean it up. Let's come up with a system that's a little bit more fair.
All right. A lot of reaction to it. We'll get to some of that. Plus more of your observations of the Broncos offseason. What did you like? Not like? That's all next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.